This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The suspect arrested following three separate shooting incidents on Tuesday night in the Atlanta, Georgia area that killed eight people has been charged with murder and assault. 21-year-old Robert Aaron Long is being held without bond per the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office. The Federal Reserve kept its policy rate unchanged on Wednesday, but sharply ramped up its expectations for economic growth. While affirming that it does not plan to raise the interest rates until 2023, U.S. inflation expectations have gone up in recent months, while unemployment remains abnormally high. The Treasury Department and Internal Revenue Service announced Wednesday evening that the federal income tax filing date for individuals for the 2020 tax year will be automatically extended from April 15th to May 17th. The IRS will be providing formal guidance in the coming days. Thanks for listening. It is well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Researchers say sound may be a way to combat the coronavirus. Dan Araki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
A new study may have found a simple way to combat the coronavirus. Researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Department of Mechanical Engineering say that the virus may be vulnerable to ultrasound waves. Early tests show that the vibrations used in medical diagnostic imaging can cause the virus to rupture, collapsing its shell and possibly damaging the RNA inside. The scientists emphasize that their data is preliminary and that much more research is needed, but say the early results show the potential for something great in the current critical situation.
Ultrasound refers to a sound with a frequency that humans cannot hear. For diagnostic uses, the ultrasound is usually between 2 and 18 megahertz. The woman whose coughing attack on a San Francisco Uber driver that went viral this week was charged Wednesday with multiple felonies for the alleged crime. Arnett Kimier faces up to 16 years in prison and $3,000. And fines. USA Radio News.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
A filibuster is a parliamentary procedure used in the United States Senate to prevent a measure from being brought to a vote. With a new party in power comes an old way to try and remove the procedure. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau has more.
Guess where they stand depends on where they sit.
Republican Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky Mitch McConnell speaking there on Fox News regarding the filibuster being removed in the Senate. The senator continues.
President Trump tried to get me to orchestrate the elimination of filibuster for a number of years, even tweeted about it. I said, no, Mr. President, that's not in the best interest of the institution, and actually not in your best interest either. I said no.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, two Democrat senators also coming out against the filibuster, Senators Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona and Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia.
The procedure for invoking cloture or ending a filibuster, the original version of the rule, two-thirds of those senators present and voting, still applies, and a minimum of 16 senators must sign a petition for cloture. NBA legend Sean Bradley was badly injured in a car versus bicycle accident in St. George, Utah back in January. That has left him paralyzed, the Dallas Mavericks confirmed Wednesday. The 48-year-old, known for his 7-foot 6-inch frame, was riding a bicycle near his home in St. George when he was struck from behind by an automobile. After undergoing neck fusion surgery, Bradley has spent the last 8 weeks hospitalized and undergoing rehabilitation. I'm Lance Pry, and this is USA Radio News.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Fresh and independent. This is Bill Martinez.
Minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. And boy, I'll tell you, we're going to have a lot of fun with Glenn Frankel, our next guest, who worked for many years at the Washington Post, winning a Pulitzer Prize in 1989. He's taught journalism at Stanford University and the University of Texas at Austin, where he directed the School of Journalism. And he's been known for writing best-selling books on books like The Searchers and High Noon, as he's taken a look and behind-the-scenes perspective on Hollywood legends. And his new one is Shooting Midnight Cowboy, Art, Sex, Loneliness, Liberation, and the Making of a Dark Classic. Glenn, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for being here, Bill. Happy to be here.
Hey, amazing. I mean, this story, I go back a number of years, this classic Midnight Cowboy movie that starred John Voight and Dustin Hoffman. I mean, what a story. Why are the focus for you on Shooting Midnight Cowboy this time around?
Well, as you pointed out, I've done two other making of the movie books about High Noon and The Searchers. I think movies, looking at these kinds of movies, give you a real window into the historical era they were made in. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for a third one with a kind of Western feel. I ended up with a much more modern movie that actually takes place in New York City.
Exactly.
But here too, Midnight Cowboy, which came out in 1969, really gives you a look at New York in the 60s, a time of great political tensions and cultural change. And, you know, I always had loved the movie, and I knew it would be interesting to write about the actors and the people who'd made it. But I was really lucky to find that it really reflected an era that was fascinating to see, and that told me a lot about the country and about things that were changing in the country 50 years ago and that are still kind of relevant to now.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, this is quite the window opening to a culture and kind of a bit of a transition that was taking place culturally with this movie. This movie had just, I believe, a lot of nuance to it, if that's fair to say, that it really, you know, caused one to think. Because I remember when I saw this movie, I was just a kid myself coming out of high school, and I thought, whoa, man, this is like one of those movies you could watch several times and have quite a discussion over.
Yeah, and it still holds up well now. It's funny, it's a very simple story. You know, a young guy from Texas named Joe Buck decides to come to New York on the Greyhound, mm-hmm. And he thinks he's going to become a male hustler in Times Square, and his customers are going to be middle-aged, affluent women, you know, who are looking for excitement. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that business model doesn't work at all, and he gets taken advantage of, finds New York a very difficult place. he forms this partnership with another outcast, if you will, a homeless con man named Ratso Rizzo. And these guys have they're very lonely guys. They're isolated, yet they eventually form a sort of fragile friendship because they're desperate people. And you know, you wouldn't think that kind of storyline would be so interesting, but the movie is beautifully done. The acting is superb. Voight and Hoffman are really doing as well. You know, their performances are as good as anything you're going to see in modern movies. And I find it still very resonant here 52 years later.
Well, you know, the magic of movies is especially comes out when the chemistry, you know, connects and it comes through the screen like it did. And the chemistry between John Voight and Dustin Hoffman was huge.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, they're such a great match. You know, Voight's 6'3", blonde guy, you know, with kind of white bread looks. Hoffman is this small, ethnic guy who wouldn't have even been, you know, a star in movies before the 60s. But at the time, it's interesting. The director is a guy named John Schlesinger, who was from the UK and had come to the US to make his first movie. And he didn't want either of these two guys originally. He didn't want Hoffman because Hoffman had just finished making The Graduate and had become a huge movie star overnight, and Schlesinger was scared of having a huge movie star mess up his little New York movie.
Right.
And he didn't think Voight had quite the look for the cowboy, and yet in the end they were the perfect choices, and their work together, you know, their collaborative effort, part competition, part collaboration, just I think is really the key to why the movie is still so resonant.
Right. And it was a cast of characters, not only in front of the camera, behind the camera, starting even with the novelist who wrote the book.
Yeah, I was, you know, I knew very little about any of these folks when I got started on this, but the story's based on a novel by James Leo Hurley, who was an actor, a playwright, and a novelist back in the 50s and 60s, and really caught this story. And again, he brings a lot of poignancy to the tale of this lonely guy from Texas. I didn't know anything about James Leo Hurley. He's been dead for almost 30 years. But, you know, he was one of these people working in New York, and had a fascinating life himself. And then the people involved in the movie, I mean, Marion Doherty, the casting director in New York, who came across, you know, Hoffman and Voight, and then all the wonderful supporting actors. I mean, she's a great character. She, you know, for a woman to be able to rise like she did in doing these kinds of movies and sticking to her guns and helping Voight get this part. I mean, I loved writing about people like that and other people involved in making the film.
Well, isn't it cool, because you want to be able to see what they're seeing, and truly hers was a gift to be able to you know, see how this could come together, right?
Absolutely. But she'd been doing this. She'd been casting people in New York for 20 years and hardworking, and kept this huge index file in pencil, which is still around. You can see it at the Motion Picture Academy Library in Hollywood. You know, she was just one of those people. And New York was full of talented people who weren't from New York originally, but who show up there in the 50s and 60s trying to do creative work. And so many of them come together. I'm also thinking of Anne Ross, the costume designer, who's from Pennsylvania. She shows up. She designs Ratso's elaborate, you know, down-and-out costumes, and Joe Buck's, you know, leather suede coat. Anne Ross is 89 years old now. She was just nominated for an Academy Award yesterday for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. I mean, meeting people like that, and you know, they were also generous, the ones who were still around with their time. And they all remember the movie very, very fondly. I mean, it was a great experience. I loved every minute of it.
I bet. I mean, you know, to have all this, you know, come together and to think, you know, Glenn, just as you say, that this was a book written, you know, years before, but yet the way it was depicted in the movie, it was just like it was written just yesterday.
Yeah, it is. The movie does hold up very well. you know, it also, Schlesinger had a kind of documentary feel for Times Square in the New York area.
Mm, yeah.
As I said, he's a Brit. He comes, this is his first movie in the U.S., and so he's an outsider,
yeah,
too. And he hooks up with a cameraman for this movie is a guy named Adam Hollander, who had was an emigre from Poland, from communist Poland. And this is Adam's first feature film, and he sees New York, you know, with a whole fresh set of eyes. So these are hungry people, very creative people, and they loved working on this movie. Adam, who, you know, I interviewed for it, still talks about it with enormous fondness.
Oh, you can only imagine. We've got more from Glenn Frankel after this. Stay with us.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get two bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. That's 800-890-8117.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Martinez for We the People.
We're back with you. Glenn Frankel is with us. We're talking about his new book, Shooting, Midnight Cowboy, Art, Sex, Loneliness, Liberation, The Making of a Dark Classic at a time, in 1969. It was troubled times for America at that point in time. And, you know, as you said, we just had Dustin Hoffman with The Graduate. The sexual revolution was off and rolling. And why not The Midnight Cowboy, right?
Yeah, it was an interesting time. I mean, 68 had seen the, you know, political assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. There was a big populist movement that was, alienated by government. A lot of George Wallace supporters out there. I mean, there was a lot of political resonance this time now, and the country was in a lot of trouble. But at the same time, culturally, as you point out, things were changing. The movies were changing. I mean, those old genres of biblical epics and, you know, and musicals and things, and westerns, I'm afraid, for that matter, too, were beginning to die out. Mm-hmm. Moviegoers were getting younger. They were more interested in sort of cutting-edge films that were a little more challenging, certainly more adult themes. This was a very rich, complicated era, and that was both the burden I had in writing this book was, you know, being able to write coherently about all of that. And yet it was a wonderful, you know, a rich era to have to explore.
Well, especially when you're able to look at what I say a canvas of talent and how it was coming and being displayed in its art form, it was just amazing. And to be able to get up close with, the players like this and really give some analysis. I mean, even script writer Waldo Salt that you write about, a veteran who suffered on the Hollywood blacklist during the McCarthy era. And here he is. He wins his first Academy Award for Midnight Cowboy.
Yes, that's exactly right. I mean, people like Waldo, he was a guy who'd had a very tough life. He was blacklisted because he had been in the American Communist Party. He didn't work for 10 years, or he worked under pseudonyms. He was an alcoholic. He was a guy who was really down at the end of things in his life. Mm-hmm. And this brought him back together. He believed in himself, and he believed in the power of movies and in the importance of a good screenwriting. And to see him come back, and he didn't just write the script. He was around every day of the film shoot when they needed help, when a scene didn't make sense, when they needed advice. There was Waldo. He said it was the best thing that had ever happened to him. Waldo's passed away more than 30 years ago, but his daughter Jennifer, who was an actress herself and had in her first role as a small part in this movie, talked about him, talked about what happened and what this meant to him and what it meant to her. I mean, you can't, you know, there's no better experience that I can have as a writer than being able to talk to such talented, interesting people. Hoffman and Voight, I should add, both of whom were not the easiest guys to get hold of, as you can imagine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when I got them, they talked with great generosity and warmth about each other and about working with John Schlesinger, the director. They both know what a special movie this was and what special roles they had in it. So, this was as good as it gets for somebody like me.
Glenn, isn't it like, you have a winning season, and when you have a team that's part of a winning season, I mean, there's some special camaraderie, affection, because after everything that was said and done, the contribution that Midnight Cowboy had on the culture and the statement that it made, and, this group of people that came together, I mean, in so many ways was really magical, wasn't it?
It really was, and it's funny because, you know, nobody thought this movie was going to be a big hit or make any money at all. The United Artists funded it because they like Schlesinger and they want to be involved in his movies, but the idea that this thing was going to be both a critical success and then it made good money, it cost about $3 million to make and made more than $40 million. So it was a big hit on all levels, and it won Best Picture, the Best Picture Oscar, and Best Screenplay for Salt, and Best Director for Schlesinger. manager. I mean, these were people at the sort of apex of their talents getting together. They all remembered incredibly fondly because it was one of the most creative and successful things they were all involved in, and they did it together.
Well, no question, it was cutting edge. I mean, to the point, I mean, we're talking the first film with an X rating, I guess the only film with an X rating ever to win Best Picture at the Academy Awards.
It's the only one. And, you know, the rating system had just come into play a few months earlier. They'd gotten rid of something called the production code, an old system of censorship, because they knew they had to, you know, allow for movies that were more adventurous and with more adult themes. And so Midnight Cowboy comes along, and it gets an X rating, but telling the story of that was interesting because it wasn't X rated by the ratings board. It was done by the folks at United Artists, who were a little afraid of this cutting edge movie and its depiction of both heterosexuality and gay sex. It's not a pornographic movie. There's no nudity in it, but still, it's right on the edge of things. And yet it won Best Picture. It really appealed, and United Artists ended up even using the X rating as one of its marketing tools to tell people this is something different. You're going to see something you've never seen before. And the lines, you know, were incredibly long outside the movie theater in New York for the opening. So it really was a coming together of both critical success, and then some people made a lot of money from this movie.
Was there a little bit of the sensationalism built into this whole idea as well? I mean, when you have a movie rated X, I mean, this is like, this is absolutely breakthrough and astounding. A movie like this would be rated X, and then people would see it and they'd go, well, maybe not seriously X, as they stated, but I guess maybe at the time, when you consider what was happening in the culture, this was quite the breakthrough.
It was a breakthrough, and it appealed to a younger audience that was looking for breakthroughs. I mean, this comes after The Graduate, again, Dustin Hoffman's first big movie. It comes after Bonnie and Clyde. Easy Rider makes a ton of money that same year.
Right, exactly.
You know, people are looking for different things. The movie business is scrambling to figure out how to keep up with its own audience. And Midnight Cowboy is one of the big breakthrough movies of that era. It wouldn't have worked, you know, it wouldn't have done so well if it hadn't been really well done. The X rating itself was just a sort of tempting target, but that's not really why the movie was so big. It spoke to people, it had an intimacy about it, and ultimately I think these two characters struggling to survive, finding each other, wary of each other, and yet still having to rely on another person is a story that still appeals even 52 years later.
I was going to say, it still has relevancy, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, I think a lot. I mean, the movie seems very fresh, and the performances are very modern. And it really gives you, but it also gives you the taste of New York, which was, you know, after being the world's greatest city, beginning to decay. And very predatory in some ways. The movie doesn't hold back from anything. In the end, it feels very honest and intimate, and that's something that is still hard to capture in movies today.
Well, Glenn Frankel worked for many years at the Washington Post, winning a Pulitzer Prize in 1989, taught journalism at Stanford University, the University of Texas at Austin. He presents this new book on the Midnight Cowboy, Shooting Midnight Cowboy, Art, Sex, Loneliness, Liberation, and the Making of a Dark Classic. As we wrap things up, Glenn, what do you want the readers to take away from this?
Boy, that's a really good question, Bill. I think... when you see a movie that gets to the heart of being human, and does it in such an interesting, complex way, it doesn't offer any, there are no heroes in this
yeah,
movie.
Right. Yes.
There are no real villains. There are tough people trying to get by in the world. They do it with humor and sometimes with predatory behavior. This sort of slice of our of real life and what it means and how precious it is. I mean, I think those are the values we come out of, and being open outside of our comfort zone to people who are down and out or people who are different than we
are.
And that's really the value that this movie offers to anyone.
Well, Glenn Frankel, thank you for being with us. Congratulations on the book. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. Shooting Midnight Cowboy, Art, Sex, Loneliness, Liberation, and the Making of a Dark Classic. Glenn, thank you for being with us.
Bill, thanks for having me on.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. Did you know that the unemployment rate for homeless veterans was twice the national average? And without proper shoes, it's hard to get a job? Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. People from all over the country helped us with our annual Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Shoes and Socks for Homeless Veterans. There was a time this summer where we believed that probably it wouldn't be successful because of the pandemic, but decided to go ahead and do it anyway. We reached out in the local community and on the various radio shows that I'm on, asked for their support. In a little over 3 weeks, we received 400 pairs of shoes and over 1,000 pairs of socks for homeless veterans so they can go out and look for a job and have a decent pair of shoes to wear. We at Songs and Stories for Soldiers and all the 400-plus soldiers who will receive these shoes and socks say thank you for your generosity. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The suspect arrested following three separate shooting incidents on Tuesday night in the Atlanta, Georgia area that killed eight people has been charged with murder and assault. 21-year-old Robert Aaron Long is being held without bond per the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office. The Federal Reserve kept its policy rate unchanged on Wednesday, but sharply ramped up its expectations for economic growth. While affirming that it does not plan to raise the interest rates until 2023, U.S. inflation expectations have gone up in recent months, while unemployment remains abnormally high. The Treasury Department and Internal Revenue Service announced Wednesday evening that the federal income tax filing date for individuals for the 2020 tax year will be automatically extended from April 15th to May 17th. The IRS will be providing formal guidance in the coming days. Thanks for listening. It is well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Tune in to Bill Martinez.
Back with the America, Bill Martinez here, and Jordan Goodman. Yes, America's Money Answers Man joins us now. Hey, Jordan, are you stimulated?
I'm being very stimulated, Bill. It's very good.
Lots of billions of dollars in the account. Of course, and about as quick as we got stimulated, then it was like, oh, we got to tax. We got to raise taxes because we got to pay for that stuff now.
Well, the entire $1.9 trillion was borrowed.
Yes.
They did not have this in the account to spend, but they spent it anyway. We just went over $28 trillion in debt, so this will put us pretty much over 30 pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to stimulate the economy, for sure. It's mm-hmm. going to help people who are needing money. There's been a lot of people really hurting, small businesses really hurting. It's all more debt. That's the way we're doing this thing. None mm-hmm. of it is being taxed. It is coming through revenue.
Right, and we still had money left over from the previous stimulus that needed to be flushed out, and we're talking, you know, this $1.9 trillion stimulus, it's going to be doled out over the next, 4 or 5 years?
Something like that. I mean, the $1,400 is going out right away.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And the PPP, but that takes a while for small businesses to get that. The cities and states are going to get about $350 billion. That'll take some time to get out there. A lot of the money for health care is going to happen relatively quickly in getting the vaccines out there in various ways. Mm-hmm. But you're right. A lot of these other things are very long-term programs. This is the largest stimulus program in American history without having any first of all, is completely partisan. Not a single Republican supported on either the House or the Senate side, and not a single dollar of it is in the Treasury. It's all borrowed. So that's the legacy we're creating here.
Well, yeah, that's amazing. You know, what does that tell you, that it was not bipartisan?
There's no partisanship on Capitol Hill, unfortunately. I mean, something this big, it'd be nice to have at least some bipartisanship. The only way they got it through was through a Reconciliation Act in the Senate, which means it's a majority vote. And as it was 50-50 and Vice President Harris breaking the tie. So this is the ultimate in non-bipartisanship.
Wow. And for a bill this big that we're talking one-tenth of our economy...
Right.
Wow. This is, we're back to deja vu, Affordable Care Act one more time.
And there were some things in there for the Affordable Care Act. Subsidies for people for health insurance, a lot of child care credits. People have been getting checks every month for child care. Unemployment benefits were increased. I mean, it's great to spread money all over the place. It's just... this is money that's going out right now. Let's enjoy the sugar high.
Yeah,
we're
going
to have to pay for it for 30. I mean, we'll never pay for it, is what it comes down to, Bill. We'll never. Mm-hmm. People say, when are you going to pay the national debt back? The answer is never.
Right, exactly. And then along the way, we're going to be dealing with inflation. That's inevitable.
Well, you have a lot more money chasing after the same amount of goods. It will stimulate the economy. In the second quarter, we'll probably have growth of maybe 10%, something like that. Inflation is going to be coming. Now, you've already seen asset price inflation. Mm-hmm. What we're going to see is consumer price inflation. We've already seen the stock market soar, Bitcoin soar, residential real estate, particularly in the suburbs, soar. Assets have already gone up a lot. That's largely because of the free money that the Federal Reserve has been pumping out. And they're going to continue to pump out at least $120 billion a month for a long time. So now you've got both the fiscal side of the house with the stimulus bill and the monetary side of the house with complete pedal to the metal.
Right.
And yes, that will stimulate prices to go up, both of assets and consumer prices. You've already seen gasoline moving up a lot, and oil's up into the mid-60s, and other things are moving up as well.
Well, anytime you get the government kind of messing up with these different sectors and thinking they know better, there's always unintended consequences. And what they could be doing is stifling productivity. And if they stifle productivity, I mean, we're kind of, almost messing with ourselves and thinking that we're doing something positive, when in actuality we may be hurting ourselves because we're not letting the free market just be robust and get back to work.
Well, this is what stagflation is all about.
Yeah.
When you have too much money chasing too few goods, that was the disease of the late 70s,
as
you said,
yeah,
which led to rising interest rates, rising inflation, and caused the Federal Reserve to have to clamp down hard and cause a real recession.
Right.
Now, we might have had, we didn't have $3 trillion in debt. We now have $30 trillion in debt
right
into that situation. So it's a very, very different situation. We owe a lot of money. And interest rates have been rising, Bill. We've got the 10-year Treasury, which is up to about 1.6%. A year ago, it was 0.5%. It was, a third of what it is today. So that means the Treasury has to pay more money on this debt that we're adding all the time. So it's going to get more expensive.
Well, let's talk digital currency. You mentioned Bitcoin. What's going on? What's the latest there?
It's well over 50,000, 55,000, something like that.
Wow.
I think it's considered an alternative currency, really.
Mm-hmm.
And as we devalue the U.S. dollar through all this money printing and borrowing, people are losing faith in the real currency, the so-called fiat currency, I guess you might say,
right,
and going to this alternative currency. In the past, it would have been gold. Gold hasn't done that much. Gold's like 1,700 thereabouts. But Bitcoin continues to do really, really well. It's being used in real life more and more. There are now ATMs you can go to there to actually get money out in Bitcoins and cards.
Wow.
Elon Musk says you can now buy a Tesla with a Bitcoin. It's pretty much an even trade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be more and more in real life. So I think it's got tremendous momentum. It's obviously very volatile day to day.
Right.
But Bitcoin could easily hit 100,000 this year.
Is there any communist Chinese entanglement with Bitcoin at all?
A lot of people trade Bitcoin in China. They try to clamp down on it there.
Mm.
But it's not really within their control. It's an international currency beyond the control of central banks and central governments. They don't like it.
Yeah.
In the United States, the SEC is trying to make it a security. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not a security. It's a currency. It's a commodity. It's an asset.
Right.
And it's not something. It is traded, but it's not like a mutual fund or a stock.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as usual, the SEC likes to control everything and as much as they possibly can regulate anything that anybody can put money into.
Well, and I would think that this would get in the way of the ambitions of the CCP that wants to, you know, they want to be the answer to
right.
To the American dollar, don't they?
Well, ultimately, the Chinese, they've been doing that. They've been doing transactions in their own currency, in the renminbi and the yuan, with Russia, with Iran, and other places. It's part of the general concern that the dollar is going to be devalued because we're printing so many of them.
Right.
And China's the second largest holder of dollars, and they're worried about it. So they've actually been net sellers of Treasury securities recently, not net buyers. So they're moving their money elsewhere, and it's not as though the yuan is going to be the world reserve currency the way the dollar is, but more and more they're wanting to use things in their own currency. That's correct.
Yeah, without a doubt. Let's talk health insurance. We got health sharing.
Yeah. You can imagine the costs that people are going through right now, even if they don't die of COVID, right, and all the hospital bills. Insurance can be very expensive, and premiums are going up, and co-payments and deductibles, all these things going up all the time. There is an alternative that some people may not know about, which is called health sharing.
Mm-hmm.
I compare it to like a credit union or a co-op where people pool together. I mean, people meaning millions of people.
Yes.
You have an account in your name that you put a certain amount of money in, and then that covers your health expenses. But if you have health expenses beyond what's in your account, people from other people's account pay your health bills, even if it's some huge amount, $2 million or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are two big ones. I list them at moneyanswers.com. One is called U.S. Health Share. And the other one is called MediShare. MediShare has been around for about 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount that you put into your account is maybe a third of what traditional health insurance premiums would be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much less money out of your own pocket. And if you do have some kind of a medical catastrophe, you'll have the bills paid without having to pay these enormous health insurance premiums.
Exactly.
So it's an alternative a lot of people are not familiar with, Bill.
No, it's a great concept. We've been doing this ourselves and our family for a number of years, and it works. I mean, it is amazing, and there's different organizations, like you say, that are promoting this, that are available. And it's a great alternative, and along with that, then we've got some concierge and increased involvement with concierge healthcare as well.
Right. Well, that's another way. You pay a certain amount, and then no matter how much you need, you have complete access to the doctor. That makes a lot of sense. If you're basically healthy, you may not need to pay or something like that.
Right.
But you want to be protected against disaster, which is what insurance normally does.
Exactly.
But the insurance premiums have gone up so much that just a lot of people aren't able to afford it.
Well, he's America's Money's Answer Man. You know why, Jordan Goodman. Jordan, how can people be in touch with you?
MoneyAnswers.com is my website. I get emails from folks all the time. I'm always glad to help them, Bill.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media. Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning.
If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, maybe losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
You know, reminding us once again that, hey, look, not to lose hope, and I appreciate what Jenny Beth Martin had to share with us as well. You know, we got to hang in there, keep fighting the good fight. I mean, this is life. You know, we're getting through it, you know, one moment at a time. Some of it probably more excruciatingly painful than other times. But look it. We've been through this way before, maybe not with a pandemic quite like this in this modern era with this generation, but look, we have been able to rise up and come against things that are not true and right. This is why, you know, abandoning the truth leaves you so vulnerable, and it's we're manipulated that much easier when we turn our back on the truth. Lance LaRusso joins us now. He's a leading attorney, former law enforcement officer, author of the book Peacemaking and When Cops Kill. Hey, Lance, good to have you back with us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about Derek Chauvin. Jury selection underway in the trial of the former Minneapolis police officer. And, of course, boy, Minneapolis is on a razor's edge here right now.
Yeah, there's a lot going on to that. I think it's going to take a long time to get a jury. There's a lot of different factors going on here. We have the charges itself aren't even set in stone, which is highly unusual to begin a trial without the charges being set. So the judge dismissed the third-degree murder charge that was reinstated by the Court of Appeals, and now the Minnesota Supreme Court is looking at it. So, aside from trying to get a jury, and it may take them a month to get a jury, aside from getting a jury, you also have the question of how long it's going to take for the Supreme Court to make a decision so the trial can begin knowing what charges he's facing. I've never seen a situation where we weren't certain at this point what the charges were. And if they move forward at some point, you know, if they impanel a jury without the charges set in stone, you could deal with a situation of a reversal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is, to me it puts so much in jeopardy that how can you start a trial without even having, the correct statement, what he's being accused of? I mean, it's dynamic, and I've never known a court process to be dynamic like this.
Well, it's especially critical, too, because that third-degree murder charge, when you look at the Minnesota statute, and I'm not licensed in Minnesota, but I did read it, and it's similar to a lot of states that, different states call laws differently. It really doesn't matter. You have to look at the elements of the crime. Mm-hmm. And one of the elements is that it's not an intentional causing of a death, but it's a death that results from a particularly heinous act or an act that you should know with reckless disregard could cause a death. So it's a lower burden of proof for the prosecution. And, you know, people have criticized the prosecution. The bottom line is if they believe the facts support that charge, then they put it to the jury, but they still bear the burden. And one of the burdens they bear is to show what killed George Floyd. And I think that after everybody's impaneled and after all the law settles down, that's probably what a great deal of the evidence is going to focus around.
Well, even going into this, I mean, it has been so run through the court of public opinion that, boy, how does Chauvin get a fair trial?
And it's really interesting. The very people who are screaming about fairness, some of them are saying that, you know, they can continue to engage in actions which are making it very difficult to get him a fair trial. So all of those potential jurors, and then all of those jurors, whether they're sequestered or not after they're impaneled, they are going to have to walk into that courthouse.
Yes.
And they are going to have to walk past protesters and fences and lines of law enforcement, and if it gets bad, lines of National Guard men and women. And the question is, does that interfere with the right of a fair trial? And when people start saying, well, you know, he deserves the trial he gets, then just back up a minute. Because if we're going to do away with the right of a fair trial, all in the name of having your opinion heard, we have a bigger problem.
Yes. Yeah, because, this thing is just, you know, ran away on its own. I mean, no due process. It was just assumed that Derek Chauvin had killed George Floyd because his knee was on his neck. And then the autopsy report says that wasn't the case. But that's not heard. You know, that's set aside because the court of public opinion has already, you know, rendered justice or rendered their decision in saying that, it was death by a knee to the throat.
Well, the bigger problem that you have here, too, for moving forward, any death is tragic. And if you're trying to investigate why it happened, firing an officer immediately is the absolute dumbest policy decision you could make. The allegations have been that there was systemic racism within that police department. Well, there were four officers who could have been interviewed in internal affairs. They could have been forced to make statements under the Garrity decision, as opposed to a criminal investigation where they can refuse to make statements. They could have been forced to make statements. We could have learned more and gotten a window into that agency and learned exactly why this occurred. But to satisfy the public, they were fired immediately. So now that's gone.
Well, let me ask you that. This is a good point. Okay, satisfy the public, or, you know, it seems to me that this kind of protects the police department. You could argue that as well, could you not?
I'm sure people could make that decision, but it sounds like the police department probably didn't have a choice. They were probably told to terminate them, and we've seen that in other cities, too, where, you know, let's fire them immediately, and that'll solve the problem. It never does.
Yes. No.
It never does. And 10 years from now, it actually defeats the purpose of trying to make things better because you don't know what caused the incident. It's very unique in the public sector. We can force people to give statements to government entities according to the Garrity decision.
Mm-hmm.
So once they're terminated, you lose the ability to force them to make statements. Those statements can't be used against them in criminal cases. But the reason is that the Supreme Court recognized it is more important to do that deep dive and find out what happened in a government context and find out, is it a training issue? Is it a hiring issue? Did we have the wrong person? Did we retain them improperly? Mm-hmm. It's more important to do that than prosecute them, because there's another parallel criminal case that will take care of that.
Exactly. Well, you know, when you talk about justice in the grander scale, Lance, you bring up a good point, and that is that, you know, we want to get to the whole genesis and the root of this situation, and, you know, will they be able to do this in the midst of emotions running as high as they are? Because experience has taught us time and again that emotions can, you know, push logic and reason out of the way, and it becomes a lose-lose proposition.
You know, I've been involved in law enforcement since 1987. I want to know what the officers were trained. I want to know what examples they were given. I would love to know what scenarios were used in their training, their annual training, their in-service training. And we're never going to know that. And the bottom line is, if we don't get to the bottom of that, it's not just this agency that might continue to have a problem. We may learn something that could benefit all of law enforcement. And
exactly.
I had someone recently say, why doesn't law enforcement do an analysis after they use force, especially deadly force, or when somebody dies in custody, why don't they do an analysis to find out why so they can prevent it? And I said, What in the world makes you think they don't?
Yes, right. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you can even see that on the TV shows, that there's investigations that take place. But, you see, this is the false narrative that's out there, and the disservice that's being done, you know, for the people, you know, by the mainstream media. I mean, they're not doing a deep dive on this. I mean, they seem to be, it surfs up, and let's ride the emotional waves and get some attention and not really, you know, try to begin to bring some reason into the debate, into the conversation, because meanwhile, you know, emotions are running away with themselves. There's a fixed paradigm that's in place right now. This has been going on for several years. I mean, how do you get on the other side of this, Lance?
Well, and I talk about this in my book, Blue News. The news cycle does not permit the type of deep dive that would need to be done on this. For example, we've heard much criticism about less than lethal and what other options officers have. We've got, and it's just amazing to me, we've got cities banning the use of less lethal devices, all in the name of keeping officers from using too much force, which is, you know, must sound great to your mom because she loves you, but not to anybody else.
Exactly.
Who do they think developed all these less lethal options, and why? Mm-hmm. Law enforcement developed these so they could use less force and specifically avoid the use of deadly force at all opportunities.
How does that make sense, Lance? That just seems incongruous that you would want to use, you know, a less lethal, you know, tool, because then at that point you're limiting what's in the tool chest for law enforcement, and now you're going to end up with more people, you know, more George Floyds down the road.
It's two reasons. Number one is the facts don't matter in the analysis and the dialogue. And second, it's being done by people who are just plain ignorant of the use of force. For instance, in Philadelphia, we had an officer shoot somebody, two officers shot someone who had a knife. People complained that the officer didn't use a taser. 1,600 of the 6,000 patrol officers in Philadelphia have tasers. The law enforcement officers have been begging for tasers for years. You remember 10 years ago when people wanted to ban them?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Well, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Lance, I appreciate you staying on top of this. We look forward to having you back and getting updates on, you know, how this is going to play out. And not only for Chauvin, but you got George Floyd's family. You've got Minneapolis that hopefully, you know, somehow that reason can reign and emotions can be dialed back. But I think it's going to be a tough process, needless to say. Lance Larusso, thank you, buddy.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival... Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans. Survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.